1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM.
Hello.
In the PC. It is Sunday, the 26th of August, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. Glenn, have you ever noticed that the recommended dosage is really more than just a suggestion on your meds, that it's actually where you're supposed to be at any given day?
I've come to the conclusion that it makes his weekend to hear us do those intros. You know what I mean? I mean, that's it.
True.
You know,
when I leave the house at the morning at about 3:30, quarter to 4 in the morning, my wife says, "Hey, this is the day you get to hear sound bites, guys, right?" Oh, my, oh, my.
He just lives for it.
And you go out the door with a fleet foot and a smile in your eye.
No, not necessarily.
Or a foot in your eye and a smile and somewhere else.
The neighbors are questioning.
That's right. Look, there's a guy in his pajamas again.
Or at least the top half of his pajamas. That's something anyway. All right.
I just opened up the WhamCam webpage and it's showing me last week's video of us.
I don't.
That's weird.
Okay, that's odd. Because this is really us. I'm wearing this shirt. He's wearing
somehow,
that shirt.
It must be cached in my computer somehow. I just opened it up and let me refresh it. It's still last week's show. Because I'm thinking, well, Chris isn't in the picture and we're wearing different shirts and this is weird.
Okay.
No, I just did refresh and I'm still getting last week.
I don't know what.
Maybe
you
it's
did.
Got a buffer first before I see. Now, is that going to show me the entire week's worth of Wham stuff before it gets to now?
Yeah.
It's a time travel. I'm looking a week in the past. It's time travel.
It's time. It's nice to have that, don't you think, every once in a while? All right, before we get to the phones, let me tell you what's going on in the news this week. A 17-year-old hacker has broken the lock that ties Apple's iPhone to AT&T's wireless network.
And where is he going to go to school?
I'll get to that. Freeing the most hyped cell phone ever for use on the networks of other carriers, including overseas ones. George Hotz of Glen Rock, New Jersey, confirmed Friday that he had unlocked an iPhone and was using it on T-Mobile's network, the only major U.S. carrier, apart from AT&T, that is compatible with the iPhone cellular technology. While the possibility of switching from AT&T to T-Mobile may not be a major development for U.S. consumers, it opens up the iPhone for use on the networks of overseas carriers. The phone, which combines an innovative touchscreen interface with the media playing capabilities of the iPod, with all the sex appeal of every single screen siren you have ever heard of or could name, is sold only in the U.S. The hack, which Holtz posted Thursday to his blog, is complicated and requires skill with both soldering and software. It takes him about 2 hours to perform. Since the details are public, it seems likely that in a small industry may spring up to buy U.S. iPhones, unlock them, and sell them overseas. That's exactly like what I don't want, Hotz said. I don't want people making money off this. He said he wished he could make the instructions simpler so users could modify the phone themselves. But that's the simplest I could make them, Hotz said. The next step, he said, would be for someone to develop a way to unlock the phone using only software. Now, the iPhone has already been made to work overseas using another method, which involves copying information from the SIM, this subscriber information module, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And resoldering something seems annoying.
Well, yeah, the SIM chip method doesn't require resoldering, but it does require special equipment, and it doesn't actually unlock the phone. Every new SIM chip has to be reprogrammed for use on a particular iPhone. But all of the hacks, including the one from Hotz, leaves the iPhone's many functions, including the camera and the ability to access Wi-Fi networks, intact. The only thing that won't work is the visual voicemail feature, which shows voice messages as if they were incoming email. And there is apparently no U.S. law against unlocking cell phones. So unlike DVD John and people like that, well, George Hotz gets...
It's likely a violation of your contract with AT&T when you bought the phone.
That's your problem, not
right,
his.
That's contract law, not criminal law.
Right. And that, again, that's not his problem.
Yeah.
He did nothing illegal. He did collaborate online with four other people, two of them in Russia, to develop the unlocking process. Holtz is in college today, 17-year-old kid going to college for the first time. He plans to major in neuroscience, or hacking the brain, as he says, at Dun, 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 the Rochester Institute of Technology.
We should get him on the show.
Yeah, but no.
We should.
But the other big kicker, who's coming to this college to speak?
Well, that'll come up later in a different news segment.
Yeah, but you got to stay tuned for that too, folks, because this is a really kicker.
If you haven't heard it. We'll talk about this. This kid did something.
But he is so cool, though.
This kid did something pretty astonishing. I mean, particularly since he's not even going to school for computer science.
Yeah.
Well, it's he's going for neuroscience, which is, I guess, you know, if you're going to hack the brain, it's got even more connections than a computer.
He said in his interview, he just didn't like the idea of somebody telling him, no, you can't do that.
And that's where all the greatest stuff has come from.
Yeah, and it's like, no, you can't. Well, then I'm going to try. It's only an electronic device.
Right.
Yeah. One of the things, you know, we've said about Dave is his business is computers. His hobby is woodworking.
Yeah,
it's always amazing. Was it Paul Casarino who used to do the Soundbites Gems, little shareware products?
Yep.
He's a jeweler by trade.
Right.
And it's fairly rare when you find someone into computers that
is at least part owner of the Gem Lab.
Yeah. It's kind of rare to find people that are into computers that aren't really into computers. And they have other hobbies too.
Right, yeah. Right. Which is why, because he is a jeweler and part owner of the Gem Lab, he may be full owner by now. Yep.
Software Gems.
Yeah. Software Gems was always a cute
play on word. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This story, however, is, I think, astonishing. I have not heard. Have you heard any reply from Apple? Anything at all that Apple may have said?
Not yet.
Or con?
The lawyers are probably working on this.
Could be. Right? Yeah. It is the weekend.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things is that it's different than when you normally buy a cell phone. You can walk into an Apple store, buy an iPhone, and walk out, and that's it. You do all your activating over the internet through iTunes. With most cell phones, and we're Verizon dealers, so you know we've gone through some training on this. When you buy a phone, there's typically a discount on the phone for signing the contract, and you sign up and activate the phone right there in the store. Which is true of the iPhone if you do it at an AT&T store.
Right.
So someone can walk into an Apple store, buy an iPhone, and never activate it. And that was some of the first hacks that came out, that you can use your iPhone as an internet web appliance on Wi-Fi and as an iPod music player just by never activating your AT&T contract.
Right.
Or you can activate your contract and immediately cancel it, and then you don't get charged the activation fee, and they refund all that for you. So there have been some similar hacks like that. If you want to buy a $600 phone that can't actually make any phone calls, that's been possible.
Yeah.
So it's likely has to do with the contract that you sign with AT&T, because you don't sign a contract with Apple, who makes the phone.
Right, right. All right, we are going to take a break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, George, Chris Wright. Oh, my God in heaven. I apologize, Chris. Rob Linton, Mean It Francesco, and all of you. It is 15 minutes after the hour. Clearly, my meds haven't kicked in yet. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And in 19 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Facebook is planning a new advertising system that will target ad delivery based on profile information added by Facebook users. The new system will let marketers target users with ads based on the massive amounts of information people reveal on the site about themselves. And they do, you know, go to YouTube and search for Facebook stalker. That's funny, but scary. And they're going to target these people with future development that is aimed to, in true Orwellian style, predict what products and services users might be interested in even before they have specifically mentioned an area. Monetizing social networking platforms through advertising has been a hard task for a long time now. For example, although News Corp may be reaping revenues from MySpace today, most of those revenues come indirectly, such as through the Google search deal. MySpace rates have previously been reported to be a small fraction of 1 cent per thousand, cost per thousand. Facebook seems to be experiencing stronger advertising rates, with recent reports indicating that Facebook charges around $10 cost per thousand. There's always scope for improvement, and certainly the more upmarket demographic of Facebook should provide higher paying advertising opportunities if and when ad delivery is sorted out and well targeted. You know, people are questioning this already because Google's already under fire for delivering contextual advertising in Gmail based on the contents of email a user has received. Now, Facebook is not only going to use user data and networking activities to deliver targeted advertising, they're going to go past that and try to produce preemptive targeted advertising based on what they think you might want in the future. If Facebook can create a system that accurately preempts users' desires, it's not unreasonable to consider that Facebook could easily become the next AdWords as well. Not even Google can currently predict the future. It's a scary thing, but you know what? Nobody does anything for free anymore. If you can't figure out a way to make money out of it, well, you know, at the very least, it's going to be advertising.
Well, that's
based.
That's why I've been saying for the past 6 months, it seems, viruses are really down. You have not seen any new virus alert out there that, you know, oh, yes, you got to get this off, you know, because it could take down, like we saw with CNN. You know how that virus,
right?
You're seeing a lot of Trojans and a lot of spyware and everything else, because now they've learned that by doing those things, they can make some money.
Right.
And this is one thing, for years, the three of us, we couldn't figure out why do a virus. It never, you know, there was no monetary.
It was all just bragging rights in the beginning.
Well, now they've learned instead of bragging rights, they can actually earn some money from the devious things that they can create by stealing people's identity and information. So, I mean, you know, it's more lucrative for them to do that, sadly
And there's
enough.
There's a lot more phishing scams out now. In the last couple of weeks, the greeting card companies have been really hit by
man.
It. You've received a greeting card from, I'll get 10 or 15 a day. And they're all spam or scams or stock pumping scam. What was that one a couple of weeks ago? There was a stock pumping scam, and one of the internet traffic reports said it accounted for 60% of all spam was this one company, and their stock went up 20%.
Yeah.
So some were sold out and won.
Well, have you two guys been seeing it just in the past couple of weeks? It seems like all of a sudden I'm getting a lot of bounce mail back, saying that they're trying to use, and it's a bogus email address at nrightpc.com.
Right.
And they're bouncing back. And I mean, in one day, I got close to a couple thousand.
Right.
That, you know, I'm just sitting there throwing them to the trash.
Yeah, your address has gotten picked up by a mass mailing virus.
Yeah, and they're trying to, also, the other way they're trying to get around it is by doing attachments.
Yeah, the most of the virus checkers and spam checkers now can check inside the message. So they've added, you know, the spammers have jumped ahead, and now they're sending JPEG attachments with spam in it, or the new one now is PDF attachments with spam in it, because we're so used to, you know, clicking a PDF and opening it up, and now you've got spam.
Yep. Right. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Our first caller is Patty from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Patty. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. My question is, I just bought a laptop computer, and I have my internet service with Roadrunner, and I cannot get this laptop to send or receive emails whatsoever. The store is saying it's not their fault, and Time Warner is saying it's not their fault.
What happens when you try?
I get all sorts of error messages.
What are the error messages?
The SMTP server is not working, and the POP server is not working.
What is the exact spelling of your server names? Because a lot of people will miss a hyphen or a period.
I've double-checked and triple-checked and everything. SMTP-server.roadrunner.rr.com.
That's not right.
No, it's Rochester.
It's SMTP-server.rochester.rr.com.
I'm sorry, that's what I have.
Patty, what operating system are you using?
On the laptop Vista.
I'm wondering if it could be the security.
Could be a security firewall is preventing the
security firewall within Vista.
Yeah, it's possible you accidentally told the Vista firewall to prevent your mail program from seeing the internet.
So that's why nothing is getting in or out.
Do web pages work at the same time email doesn't?
Web pages do work, yes.
So, yes, you probably got the email set within Vista.
Here's the first thing to try, and we don't recommend this normally, but for testing purposes, it's a good idea. Turn off your firewall.
We did. They had put on Norton, and we turned it off and took it off entirely.
Well, turn off the built-in firewall inside of Windows itself.
How do you do that?
In the security control panel.
You go to the control panel, you select security, and you can turn off your firewall there. Then try to get your mail and see if it comes.
This is Vista, guys. You got to go digging.
Oh, it's different than Vista.
Oh, right.
I'm trying to think.
Well, you should be able to right-click on it, no? Right-click on the security settings in the taskbar. The little icon at the bottom.
I can't do anything right now because I don't have a firewall in my. I don't have wireless in my home, and I tried detaching my Time Warner connection from my desktop to my laptop, and I screwed that all up too. So right now I can't do anything on my laptop. But if you can give me instructions, I really would appreciate it.
All right,
I can post a link. It's Control Panel Security Firewall.
Right. You go in the Control Panel, you select Security, and you select Firewall, and you turn it off. Then try to get your mail. If that works, then you definitely have, then it's definitely the firewall that's the problem. Then we can go from there. If it's not that, then you either have the wrong username or password, or you've misspelled something in your SMTP setup.
Some of the things that we've seen help is delete that account and start over.
In the email. We did that also.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes you stare at this misspelled word and you don't see that it's misspelled anymore. Right, yeah.
Well, I had not only myself dealing with Time Warner, but then I took it to the store and they called Time Warner and they went over it entirely with a fine-tooth comb, and then I came back home and tried it again.
Yeah, I would try opening a command prompt and pinging the mail server and see if that works.
Well, but she's getting to the web. Yeah. It's just her mail.
Well, we got to go, Patty, but try that first. Try turning off the Vista firewall, connecting, and see if that works. Let us know, and we can go from there. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Chris Reich, with the great Rob Linton, who's either doing interpretive dance or giving me some sort of instructions in there in the booth. I'm not entirely certain what that is, but we do have the mighty Glenn Lamberts, who is going to give us the news, the weather, the sports, and all the things that you really listen to Wham for. We'll be back on the other side of that. I'm Nick Francesco. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Nick Francesco painted a fresco, did it with his plenty of spare time. How much time did he have to do his walling and salve? Well, let's just say that blank wall looks pretty fine. I'm Glenn Lamberts on Rochester's News Leader, News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 33 minutes after the hour. It is indeed time for your meds, Glenn. There's no question.
You know, I don't think there's anybody I have ever met who has less free time than you do. You do this program, you have a job over at a college somewhere.
RIT.
Right, that's the place.
Philip Saunders College of Business.
Yes, you do the... the entertainment thing every morning on Wham, which, by the way, is a hoot.
Thank you.
If I may say that. Can I say that? Sure.
Thank you.
And, any members of your family remember what you look like? That's what I'd like to know.
I leave pictures of me around so that they get that.
All right. There you go.
This is the dad. Pay attention when he comes home. All right. Thanks. We have some Imodium AD for you. I don't know if it's the right end or the wrong end, but whatever it is, here it is.
I know what that means.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's scary.
All right, YouTube fans, talk about making it all. Last time we talked about Facebook, putting ads in. Now it's YouTube. YouTube might need to rethink their new in-video advertising scheme based on initial feedback to the popular video sharing website. Most users responding to a YouTube blog post asking for feedback gave the idea a resounding thumbs down, and one even made a video to share his displeasure. The responses, a total of 132 as of this writing, may be best summarized by the first post. Yuck. The new in-video ads, which were launched by Google's YouTube division on Wednesday, start as an overlay in the bottom 20% of a video, and people can click and watch the advertisement if they want to. If the user does not click on the overlay, the ads will simply disappear. They are designed to interfere as little as possible with viewing. If a user clicks on the advertisement, the video they were watching pauses while the ad plays. Well, that's nice. One responder to the YouTube blog post was disappointed about an apparent lack of creativity in the advertising scheme. You guys ripped off Video Egg. What happened to innovation? And a banner on Video Egg's homepage says in bold letters, "Welcome, YouTube. Seriously," which sounds a whole lot like Apple welcoming IBM. "We invented the video overlay ad about a year ago. We are delighted that the market is finally catching on to a vital new approach to video advertising. Mostly users expressed dissatisfaction over the new ad scheme, and a number said they would turn to other websites that host videos in response to the move."
Now, see, if...
Question, wait a minute. How long have we been doing this show?
Almost 18 years.
My wife calls me on the air, too.
No,
I'm on the air.
No, my wife knows better, but my dad...
Didn't you just have breakfast with him and leave him and say, "Dad, I'm going to do the show"?
Not today. Oh. No. I've been kind of tied up with
my... He's probably porked off about it.
Well, he's probably wondering about my brother, but he forgets, you know, I still do the radio show on Sundays, which we've been doing for, 17 years.
Yep.
Coming up 18 years. He even tells folks, oh, yeah, my son's on the radio. You should listen to him. But he doesn't matter when it comes to time.
Right. Yeah. Well, the big problem with
I'm on the radio, Dad.
The big problem with YouTube adding ads is because they never had ads before. That's a bad thing. If they'd always had ads, no one would have. Well, they might have cared at the beginning, but you're not making a change if they had always had ads from the beginning.
Right.
So you know, put the ad next to the video, not in the video.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, nobody's going to care if the video's next to it. It's only if they're actually interrupting the thing you're looking at that they... If you had a second television next to your main TV to run the ads, how many people would even turn it on?
Nobody would turn it on.
Right.
Well, there's a conspiracy with all the networks that they run their ads at the same time to discourage channel surfing. So an ad comes on, you pick up your remote, you change to another channel. There's an ad on that channel, too.
See, what I would do is put mine after everybody else's. That way... If you were surfing through the channels during the ads, I would put my absolute best material on in that 2 minutes and hook you.
No, what I've gotten into doing is just record a lot of the shows that I like to watch and watch them later on.
Yeah, see, but they're trying to kill that, too.
You can surf. No, you can fast forward.
No, they're going to kill that. They're talking about putting out DVR players that there's always a special signal for the ads. It's embedded in the television signal because a lot of places do their own ads in places of the national ads. Mm-hmm. The signal that says an ad is coming up. There's another signal that says the ads are over. Time to go back to the show.
The ads are over signal often doesn't come because VCRs have tried this for a while.
Right. And so what happens is they lock you in. You cannot push fast forward once a commercial starts.
Glad mine doesn't have that feature.
Well, right. And what I think is that they put those out and people are going to start buying ones that don't have them. And not by the ones that do have them, but that's what they're talking about doing.
Because, I mean, this one that I've got right now has, 160 gig hard drive in it?
Yeah.
It's a lot of, and I just love it. So this way, because especially, you get towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
And they'll sit there and it seems like they show 5 minutes a show, 4 minutes a commercial. 5 minutes a show, four more minutes a commercial. And it's like. I just got too frustrated.
A lot of shows have been doing that. It's kind of neat. They'll like do 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes with no commercial to get you really hooked into the show, and then they have to have more commercials later through the hour.
Yeah. Right.
This less is
and
more.
And my favorite part are the ones that come back and say, much more of this show after the commercial. Yeah. And you come back and it's the credits. Well, that's not as much as I would have wanted of that show.
I like a couple of the shows are now doing at the bottom of the hour. They'll have another sponsor with a recap. They'll take like 30 seconds to recap what happened in the first hour. This recap brought to you by somebody else.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of, so if you missed, the beginning of the show, that helps you catch up.
Right. All right, we got time to take a call?
No, we lost it.
We lost the caller?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Beg your pardon. That's too bad. What we'll do is we'll just take a break. As we quietly mourn the loss of that caller. It's a sad day for all of us, but hopefully that caller will rise again. Save your Dixie Cups, boys. The South will rise again. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It's 39 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And in 44 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. We're talking about spam and the things that are big in spam right now. One of the biggest right now is account confirmation. I get about 100 of these a day. Your account on such and so is there. Why don't you click here and sign up? Asking recipients to confirm their account information with some bogus organization by logging onto a website that is infected with the Storm Trojan malware. This latest technique is catching on. Account information spam has grown in volume from 18% of all spam on Tuesday to 35% on Wednesday. And that's the last day that stats were available to me. These emails tell recipients they must visit a website and use the included temporary login details to set a permanent login and confirm their account. Unlike most spam, the link to the website is not an embedded URL, but an IP address. It's one of the ways you can always tell when it's bad. If you look at it and either it or the thing down in the status bar are just showing numbers, not a name, probably a scam. If you follow it, the link brings you to a website that asks you to install a secure login applet, which in fact is the Storm Trojan. So, and the Storm Trojan turns them turns a PC into a member of a botnet, a robot network that attacks other PCs. With spam levels threatening to break records this month, spammers are coming up with new and different scams on a near daily basis. Last week saw the levels of PDF spam that pump penny stocks at an all-time high. On the heels of that scam is this completely different type of spam designed to grow botnets. So we're seeing a lot of that stuff going on. As always, whenever you see an email that looks suspicious, just delete it. Trust me.
One of the things that's kind of interesting is every time there's some big infection or some outage, it's usually traced to an old virus that was patched years ago.
Yep.
And it, people don't keep their machines up to date.
Yep.
My favorite is don't know they have to.
Right. My favorite is the ones when I go to a website, there's a big thing that comes up that says, your registry is infected. Click here to download the registry cleaner. I don't think so, because I'm on a Linux machine. My right registry is exactly non-existent.
Same thing on the Mac, because right. It looks like a Windows window, and it's obviously not a Mac window or a Linux window.
Right.
But on a Windows machine, it looks like a real Windows error message.
Yep.
That's, you know, so yep. You almost have to admire their ingenuity.
Almost.
Almost.
Almost. If you can't target them, admire their ingenuity. Our next caller is Tom from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
17 years. I'm still waiting for that daily show, at least an hour. You know, I can use you a little bit more than Matthews or Lonsberry, to tell you the truth.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Send your email, too.
Yeah, right.
You guys got Fast Plus? Can we send email questions to you while you're running your show here and you answer them online?
Gee whiz,
and
no.
If not, you really should look
well,
up.
We have a chat.
We have an online chat.
Uh-huh.
And that's online during the show. The problem is we're kind of busy doing all the other stuff that a radio show entails.
Oh, you guys are busy, yeah. That's why
I would love to say, you know, that we were just sitting here with our feet up on the desk smoking nope. Cuban cigars.
We can't do like Rob does.
Yeah, Rob's just, you can email.
You should have seen him pop up from behind the monitor.
1 minute he's complacent.
Oh, that was a Kodak moment. It really we was. Missed it.
One moment he's complacently vegging out.
Was that commercial for the new Meerkat show? Pop.
I honestly think that if I said what I wanted to right now, I would probably be blacklisted by the FCC. Done.
All right,
anyway,
Tom.
I was going to say, that woman that called earlier in regards to her firewall, maybe yeah. She has two firewalls running and one's negating the other one.
Right, yeah, she said she had Norton installed.
Did she go into exceptions and maybe try to add exceptions and then... Because I live by CA Security. I mean, I don't have a problem with anything. They're
right.
Awesome. Everything. They're sweet that they have, except for Windows Firewall, which, you know, works great for me as well. But my question was, is there a difference between the user info? Well, I'm sure that there is, but what is the difference between Apple and IBM in regards to the interface?
Well, it's not IBM. It's Microsoft.
Or Microsoft, yeah.
Well, you know what? We could talk about it for hours, but here's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Head on down to your local computer store.
Mm-hmm.
And play with a Mac.
Okay.
Honestly, if you're used to Windows, you'll have a little trouble getting things done at first.
Okay.
The same is true of a Linux machine.
But the reality is, if you go out and buy a Vista machine, it's so different than XP.
About to say. Yep.
You got to learn something new anyway.
Yep, you got to learn something new anyway. And it's like we always say, it's like buying a new car. You still know how to drive, you just don't know where the radio is.
Okay.
I can speak to that.
I hear you.
I'm Chris.
That's another thing with that Vista. I talked to a Microsoft tech not too long ago, and she told me, she advised me not to mess with Vista for another 6 to 8 months. And this
yeah.
is Microsoft.
Microsoft themselves that's are telling people, don't buy Vista.
Don't mess with Vista, yes.
Yeah, so, yep.
That's why I think it's funny when they see all the advertisements out there. And that's another thing. You know, you guys made that comment about the commercials and whatnot on TV. I don't see why people have cable if they have the internet, because you can watch anything you want, any show, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Anything you want, stuff from the 30s. I listen to Winamp has that beautiful oldie. You listen to Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
The old, what was it, Boston Blackie and...
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
My goodness.
All those good things. Listen, we thank you, Tom. We got to run. We got to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, who didn't get to talk. Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It is 50 minutes after the hour, and we are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. All right, kiddies, it's that time once again. Go put on your footy jammies, grab your mug of hot Ovaltine, sit in Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair. And if we can slap him awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave! Uncle Dave!
You gotta tie me down for this one.
All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1!
I gotta keep it cool. Yeah, because otherwise I'll probably lose our license and everything else. But you know what? I hate being accused of something and being insulted and being called a liar just so they can cover their own arse.
Yeah.
And what I'm talking about is a client of mine called and said, well, you must be lying. And I go, excuse me?
Oh, man, that would have been the end of that relationship right there.
They go, well, I was talking to this large company overseas, and they say you must be selling illegal copies of XP because it's no longer available, and the only thing you can have is Vista. Boom! Boom! That's why Microsoft came out with Windows XP Service Pack 2C, because they ran out of licenses. And the only reason this major company is pushing Vista is because they still have a damn warehouse full of it, and they, you know, don't want to buy any more Vista, so they're feeding people lines like, well, then your folks must be selling illegal copies because it's not being sold anymore.
Yeah,
the
Microsoft
only thing
said,
we can put on it is Vista, so you got to buy Vista.
That may be the only thing they can put on it, but that's not the only thing Microsoft sells.
Well, Microsoft says they've shipped 60 million copies of Vista.
Right.
58 million are still on the store shelf.
Yeah, they're right. Probably still sitting out there.
People don't want Vista. And why do you think Microsoft has published a new service pack? And why do you think Microsoft extended the support for XP? And why do you think, as we had one caller say, the people at Microsoft, when you call tech support, are suggesting you stick with XP?
Yeah, everyone's saying wait till Vista Service Pack 1.
At least.
Which has now been pushed beyond October.
Yep.
Oh, that'll be on into next year. But, you know, I hate being... I mean, when I got folks calling me, well, you must be lying, or are you doing something illegal? No, it is all legit. And even Microsoft, like you're saying, is telling folks, don't do it. Because the only reason you want Vista is if, you know, you're going to a new system and want to learn something new.
And acknowledging the fact that none of your current software may work, none of your current peripherals may work.
No, I'm saying even further than that, right. You're brand new to computing. You've never had a computer before.
Right.
Vista is okay. Because you don't know any better.
Only but, okay. All right.
But you're just going to pay a lot of money because all Vista is XPN steroids. Bottom line.
All right, kiddies. It's time to give Uncle Dave his injection. And
I'm
put him back
here.
In the closet. Wheel the rocking chair back into the closet for another week. Take off your footy jammies. Rinse out your cocoa mugs. And we'll see you next time on Story Hour with Uncle Dave. He actually left the room. He just left the room. Where does he think he's going?
He's getting more coffee. See, I was waiting for the news break to get another soda.
Yeah, well, that would be nice, but we have a couple minutes
before the news break.
We have a minute anyway before the news break. But I think Dave is right. You have to, first, what idiot would call you up and tell you you're a liar to your face? I mean, that's just rude. I'm sorry, it's just simply rude. But on the other hand, even, did you notice we aren't done yet with this? Show, we're on the air right now. Come on back and enjoy the party. Dave's just wandering around. But the thing is that...
I had to cool off.
I understand. He was going out and soaked his head in something. Went out and kicked Glenn. That made him feel better. Listen, Glenn is waiting to come on. He's speechless now. He doesn't know what to say. But he's going to come on and give you all the news, the weather, the sports, and in his own inimitable style, in his own mellifluous tones. With the mighty Glenn Lamberts will be here to soothe your jangled nerves as he gives you the stuff going on in the world today, which will just make your nerves that much less soothed all over again. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back on the other side of all of that good stuff with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Chris Reich, who is donating his time to us to make our show sound as great as it's possible for any of us to sound. And, of course, the wonderful Rob Linton, who he's awake now, and he's happily waiting to bring on Glenn. I'm Nick Francesco. You are at 59 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. He's just as amused. Every time Rob says, and I'm Rob Linton, Glenn finds that insane. Do you remember he did it just an hour ago? Do you remember that?
I know.
Because you wouldn't think
Prozac is a good
thing. Wouldn't be that funny the second time or the 200th time.
This is not television radio. Yeah. You see, if people could see what was going on in here. I guess that you
No, they don't want to.
No, they don't. Yeah, you can pull it up on our website, I guess. But
well, you should mention that you have to be 18 or older to pull that. Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
No, Glenn, they still haven't fixed that yet either. Even though the page says we're on from 9 to 11,
yeah.
You click on it, it says, sorry, it's not available. Oh, well, the times are right there.
If you've bookmarked the URL, you can bring up the camera in this side of the studio, but not in the control room.
Oh, yeah, okay with that. If you bookmark that URL as well.
Oh, it's two bookmarks. I got to bookmark that one, too.
What he said. What he said over there. Yeah, that's right. That's it. Sure. We'll do that.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think probably
ask your
cameras,
wife. She'll know how to do
she'll
it.
She'll know, yes. I think the cameras are, shall we say, image sensitive. You see, if the studio is filled with very attractive people.
Like in here.
Never mind, I'm leaving.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Glenn. Bye-bye. Have a great week. All right. Before we get to the phones, let's talk a little bit about... what goes on at our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we
Nick,
do a poll.
Who is Francis?
Francis was some lady who emailed me like the second week we were on Wham. This is how many years ago now. And said, you know, I searched all week long to find your website and I kept coming up with some place in England that sells sound bites for the radio. Sound bites. 4 seconds of audio or 10 seconds of audio. Said, why don't you tell me it started with a Y? You should tell people that. So now I tell people that, and
it's different now.
And I tell people that it's Francis.
The current soundbites.org, bites with an I, is a magic spell telephone solicitor phone in $1.99 a minute thing.
Oh, they've changed.
Well, Nick, I thank you. For 17 and a half years, I've been wondering, who is Francis? Thank you.
Yeah, we were on the air like a week when Francis wrote that, and she's immortal. I will never tell you her last name, but she's immortal. Now, at this point, last week's we talked about video messaging and how they're using now video messengers to tap into your machine. So the question was, what is your favorite video messenger? And responses were 72% of you, an overwhelming number, don't do video messaging, followed by AOL's Instant Messenger, followed by Yahoo, followed by something else, followed by Windows Live Messenger, followed by Skype, then Trillion, then iChat, only 2% of you. And only 2 of you use Google Talk. So that's 265 of you. We thank each and every one of you. This week's poll is about an interesting thing that came up in the news this week about how interested mobile users are in all of those features in those very expensive new handsets. According to analyst Continental Research, users aren't interested in advanced features. In fact, when asked in a survey, 68% of respondents said they prefer a more basic phone that's easier to use and more affordable. Continental has also been tracking what people say they do with their phones, covering 11 activities from downloading ringtones and games through to watching mobile TV. In 8 of the 11 activities, a lower percentage of mobile users is doing it now than were 12 months ago. For some time now, mobile networks have aggressively promoted various advanced mobile services, but this approach seems to be falling on deaf ears, says Continental. The numbers performing these activity remains relatively low. Whilst technical issues are part of the explanation, much of the problem is that many mobile users are simply not interested. Mobile networks try to push these advanced features in many cases, and they are simply knocking against a locked door. So that's our poll question of the week. Do you want lots of features on your cell phone? And the choices are the more the merrier. And just let me do the basics. So far, we've got 90 people who have voted, and 87% of you just want to do the basics. Only 13% say the more the merrier. So that's our poll this week, and we'd like you all to get onto the Soundbites website and vote in the poll. Now, when you're done voting in the poll, I know that you folks are just not satisfied with simply clicking a button. You want more, and we give you more at Soundbites. If you go down to the little yellow box underneath it and click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
You ain't kidding, baby. Where you can actually leave an opinion, which I would prefer you keep clean and short and undull. But there it all is. So you've got your opportunity to do that once you're there. Take a look around my website. There's the forums and the newsletter and all the other cool stuff that I do. a mere $15 a year. It's cheap at half the price. There's no question. So that's what we do, and I'd like to see you vote in a poll. In the meantime, we're going to go back to the phones, and our next caller is Daryl in Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Daryl. What's your question?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
This is a printer problem. I got a Dell all 4-in-1 printer connected to a Dell computer running Windows XP Professional. This morning when I went to use the printer, it did not print. It says it's offline. I checked the cabling initially. I did an uninstall of the driver, did a restart on the computer, came back online, and I'm going to do the install again. It indicates, you know, check printer cables. Ensure that they are firmly pushed in. No effect. I changed the printer cable from what was there. I had an HP printer that I put the cables in there. Still the same thing. However, the 4-in-1 printer or copier, I can copy on it. You know, so it does work in that mode offline,
right.
But it doesn't. The computer doesn't pick up to it. So I'm suspecting that's a hardware problem. Any place to go to check it out?
Yeah, maybe something in your.
Do further?
Yeah, maybe something in your USB ports. Have you tried plugging it into a different USB port?
I did that initially before I did the uninstall. I plugged it into two other USB ports.
Well, Daryl, you've certainly done all of the good troubleshooting stuff we like to see people do. At this point, I have to agree.
One other question, though, Daryl. Now, does this only have USB, or does it have the old-fashioned parallel port also?
Just USB is all that's available on the back of the printer there, too. So.
Do you have another computer you can test with, or a friend's computer? Install that printer with that cable on someone else's computer and see if it works.
That was the thought I had, and I do have that I can do too.
Yeah, it could be the USB in your computer, or it could be the USB in the printer.
Did anything else change? Did you add something, remove something,
no.
Move hardware around?
No. The only thing that I'm suspicious of, if I would look at the past 6 to 9 months, occasionally, I couldn't pick up the printer, when I went to print, so I did a restart, and then it comes back online again, and I could do it. So I'm suspicious of that, number one. I'm suspicious that Friday night there was a power outage, power surge.
The logic board,
yeah. But the computer works fine, and everything else works fine.
Yeah.
But, I'm suspicious of that because I know
could
I printed Friday morning, and I didn't try to print
especially
anything.
Especially if you've got that all-in-one hooked up to a phone line.
It is not hooked up to a phone line.
Okay, that's good because
nothing, that's not hooked up to it either. So.
But you're right in your thinking, though. That would be my next suggestion, like you guys were saying, though, is hook it up to another computer, see if it works there. But I got a suspicion that you're going to find that it's the logic board.
Yeah.
If it is the USB ports in the computer, $15 buys you a new USB card, and you can try that. But if it is the logic board cascading failure, who knows what's going to go
next?
That's
the only problem with these 4-in-1. You've got so much wrapped up into one device.
Yeah.
So if, now all of a sudden you've got to do some scanning and printing, and one part goes, the whole machine's got to go in, and now you can't do any more scanning.
Yeah. I have a Mac that I could plug it into, but I know the Mac doesn't recognize the driver or anything associated with the Dell printer. I went through that routine.
Dell may have drivers on their website for it.
I looked. I couldn't find them when I got the Mac, and I was frustrated on that because now I couldn't print, from the Mac.
Yeah, Dell is really very invested in Windows. So,
There's a couple things you can do. Once you get it running on the PC, you can share it to the network, and then the Mac can print through the network. Or you can look at the GIMP print drivers at gimp-print.org.
Yeah, okay.
They offer, the GIMP print is a Unix level issue for using unsupported printers under Unix, and it works a lot of the Mac drivers too. Or you may be able to see if that Dell printer is based on some other printer, like if it's a repackaged HP something or other. Those other drivers from the original manufacturer may work as well.
Right, okay. Second quick question. Is there any way of checking USB ports?
Plug a USB device in and see what happens.
Yeah.
If you have a different USB device to plug in and see if it recognizes it.
You plug a jump drive in there and see if I can read that. So that's just a simple way of checking USB ports.
That's a quick and dirty.
Yeah. And then one of the things you can do there, if that doesn't work either, is you can go into Device Manager, remove all the USB stuff, reboot the machine, and see if it redetects it.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Give it a shot. Let us know.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks. Our next caller is Kim from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Kim. What's your question?
Hi. Following up on that last bit of using the device manager to uninstall to see if the computer would
recognize
identify it again and
right.
restart, my D drive has stopped recognizing any DVDs or anything I put in there. And I can't load any software or anything.
Yeah.
So
okay.
No matter what you put into it, nope. even an older disk that you used to read, it can't read that?
But the computer knows you have a D drive.
It's opening and closing, and it's still showing.
Right.
And when I look at the control panel for hardware, it says that there's no problem with this.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's probably the optical eye that got knocked out of whack.
Do you smoke?
Do I smoke? No.
Anybody in your home smoke?
Nope.
Animals?
Pets? Yeah.
No
That's
animals.
The next big one. If you're really lucky, you can get an inexpensive CD lens cleaner, and it may just be a dusty a lens on the laser.
Oh, okay.
But if not, it's a new drive, which nowadays
like 40,
costs about the same as
they're 45
the
bucks.
Cleaner.
They're 45
yeah.
bucks, and you can get a new DVD burner
with
know.
A warranty. Yeah, yeah, exactly, Chris.
So I have a separate burner, and so this is the reader, and that's the one that's not working.
Right. Well, the burner will also read, of course. So you haven't actually lost capability. You've just lost that one drive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can still do
yeah, the
both.
Burner will read. The burner is just a regular DVD reader with some extra stuff on it
mm-hmm.
to do the burning. So you can use it simultaneously. The only problem now is if you're burning a DVD that already exists, you've got to keep swapping them back and forth. And of course, you would only do that with a DVD you actually own the rights to do that with. I know that.
Well, it'll all read it into memory and then burn it.
Well, 4 gig, you'll at least do one swap somewhere along the line.
No.
Okay.
Well,
it depends on
how much memory she has in her machine.
It reads it to disk cache.
Yeah.
It doesn't
right.
have to read into RAM.
Yeah, it doesn't have to read into RAM. I do it all uh-huh. the time. Yeah.
But at any rate, the point is that you haven't lost functionality.
No.
You've only lost that one drive. If you really want to replace it, it's easy enough to do.
Okay. And so the device manager, when I say update driver, that wouldn't do anything?
No,
because it's not the driver. It's an actual physical problem. It's either a dirty lens.
It thinks that everything is, you know, they're okay. It's the optical eye. In other words, the mechanism and everything else, you know, reporting to that the hardware is there. Yes, it is.
Okay.
But it's the actual reader. When it spins that DVD or CD around, it's not actually reading it.
Right. There are some mechanical parts that the system won't read. So, for example, if you were to rip that tray out of there,
uh-huh.
the driver would tell you that the system is still fine.
Yep.
Now, obviously, it's not, but it can't tell that.
Okay.
So, either just use the other drive in place of this one, or replace this one for a few bucks and you're on your way. We're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 21 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Hey, good news, everybody. Japan is going to replace the internet. Japanese Communications Minister Yoshihide Suga said Friday that Japan will start research and development on technology for a new generation of network that would replace the internet, eyeing bringing the technology into commercial use in 2020. Speaking to reporters in Brazil, where he was visiting, Suga said an organization will be set up as early as this fall with cooperation for businesses, academia, and government offices for promoting the technology when the internet is seen to be faced with increasing constraints in achieving higher throughputs of data, as well as ensuring data security. The envisioned network is expected to ensure faster and more reliable data communication and having more resilience against computer virus attacks and breakdowns. The ministry is hoping Japan will take the lead in development of post-internet technology and setting global standards, a move that ministry officials believe would help make Japanese companies competitive in the global market for hardware and software using the technology. God bless the Japanese, replacing our internet by 2020. Our next caller is John from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Peachy.
I like the show. Love it, actually.
Thank you.
I'm in no hurry to get Vista.
Good for you.
I understand that it's a memory hog, from what I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, any time Microsoft comes out with something new, there's holes in it.
Yep.
Just wondered what your take was on that. And one other question. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah,
no, we're 100% in agreement with you.
You must not have been listening the last couple of shows for our opinion on Vista.
You didn't hear my, just at the top of the hour, my rant.
I heard a little bit about that. And then that guy must be real gullible or just, you know, lacking some education or something. But yeah, that's and then
certainly
the
lacking
other,
well, that's probably what he was told by the other end, because they're trying to make a sale. Oh no, you have to buy Vista from us. You can't buy XP anywhere else. You have to buy this new computer from us.
Right.
Right. And do you know how long do you think it'll be? Well, I don't usually have to have Microsoft support anyways, but do you think they're going to phase that out in the near future? Or?
Well, eventually, it's, what is it, 5 years for mainstream, 7 years for extended support, and right. 10 years before they abandon it completely.
XP is still going to be around, probably for the next 8 years at least.
Okay, and then the last question I had was, I'm hoping, very fortunate to get some network-related training. And
cool.
I've learned something about something called SonicWall, and my understanding is it's a pretty high-end security product, and if I'm lucky enough, I'm going to get trained on that. I'm wondering if you know what the salary ranges might be for someone that knows that type of stuff.
Well, in general, those things vary depending on the company, and honestly,
it's all over the map.
It's all over the map these days. It depends on what area of the country you're in. It depends on what your level of expertise is, how many certificates you've got behind you. Let me suggest that you do a Google search for salary survey.
Okay.
Put that in quotes, then a space, and SonicWall.
Okay.
And that should tell you that if they have added that to any of the salary surveys that, like, Inc. and Business and Fortune do, that it would come up.
And what have you heard about that in general, that product?
I have heard very good things about
it. Yeah, Sonic is one of the higher-end brands. Cisco is kind of the brand.
Right.
And there's some interesting rumors around the net. Since Cisco bought Linksys, which is one of the better-known home brands, they were considering rebranding Linksys routers as Cisco brand instead of just a division of Cisco.
Cool.
And everyone is saying, well, that's a bad thing to do because, you know, the Linksys brand is an okay home brand,
right.
But Cisco is such a bigger brand. It's like when, Mercedes bought Chrysler. And so the Daimler-Benz company,
right.
You know, is Chrysler going to drag down Mercedes or is Mercedes going to bring up Chrysler?
Right.
Yeah.
So keeping the two brands separate is probably a good idea.
Did you say to do a search on SonicWall in quotes and then salary ranges?
No, salary survey.
Oh, okay.
In quotes.
Okay.
Followed by, I always thought SonicWall was one word.
Yes, it is.
Sonic is the company and SonicWall is the product.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, quote, salary survey, close quote, space, SonicWall.
Okay.
There you go. Good luck.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks. That's where I would start. Obviously, you can refine your search from there. Our next caller is Keith in his kitchen.
Move to the den.
Okay, and where is your kitchen? Where in your house? And where's your house on my street? And where's your street?
You got it. Eventually, we get down to the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are here, but all the other interesting things is over there.
All right. Hey, I got some bad news for the guy that called about the printer. I had a similar problem, and my computer was running slow. You know, so you start to do the basic stuff. You know, shut down, reboot. Go to a restore point, check this, you do all this endless stuff. So then I'm thinking, okay, if the computer's running slow, I'm going to go to the task manager and see what's running, you know, why is it running slow, what's running. You sort the stuff. I found out something was using like 98% and it was associated with my printer. So I get the task and I Googled it and it came up as a worm. And no matter what I did, I couldn't get it to work. I cleaned it, he bowed down to the electronic gods,
sacrificed
chickens, nothing would get it to work, and I just had to reinstall everything.
Did you run the Security Tango?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some things. It may well have been connected to the printer in terms of it was in the printer somewhere, hiding in the printer buffer on the printer, and then connected to a driver that needed to be gotten rid of.
Well, you know, I figure if I'm gonna nitpick it, I'm just gonna, you know, all my files are backed up, so I don't care. It's just a program,
right.
And you have to upgrade everything. So it took me an hour, but it's nice to get rid of everything. But no matter what I did, but I felt good that I found out what the problem was and I knew what the problem was. I just couldn't get it other than just putting in the install to.
Well, a lot.
Tell the guy to check his system. I'm sure he's listening. The system task manager, see what's running.
Right. Well, his case is a little different. He can't actually make contact with the printer.
Well, that's what first started, that I couldn't get anything to print. And then my computer would run slow to the point of printing, and that's when I started doing all the other stuff. And then I said, well, let's check Task Manager to see what's running. And what was running was associated with a printer file, and that's when I did the Google search on that command, and lo and behold.
You see a lot of that, though, with the all-in-ones in general, so you know, don't panic too much.
That's what I have. I have an all-in-one.
Yeah. Most of the all-in-ones have a program running in the background all the time, waiting for you to push a button on the front of the
panel.
Right,
but it shouldn't take 99% of your system.
Yeah.
Right.
No, and that's an excellent... Google search, say it was a worm.
Right.
Yep.
An excellent catch, Keith. Thank you so much.
Take care, guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I also found the official dates for Windows XP support. Mainstream support will be retired April of 2009, and extended support will be retired April of 2014. So you have at least until 2014 before you give up on
XP.
And
that'll still probably change, too.
Yeah, they could change it.
Right.
Yeah. Although system builders will no longer be able, currently, no longer be able to buy XP after January 2009.
Oh, you mean they can buy it today?
Well, your system builders are supposed to be able to, but I just... Yeah,
I was, that blood pressure thing again, Dave.
XP, yeah.
Counts that... Now we're talking.
I was just checking availability at Ingram Micro, one of the large distributors.
Not paying your head.
They don't have any XPs in stock. So maybe Microsoft is slowing down production, trying to force people to move to XP or to Vista also.
Well, and isn't it sad that the only way they can get people to buy Vista is to actually trick them into it in some way, force it down their throats. Shouldn't that say something to them about the quality of the product they're trying to sell?
Why was the industry so anxious to get Vista? Why were they pressing Microsoft to get
in
this
the beginning,
out?
Bill told you he was.
No, the industry never wanted it. The point is, once Microsoft finished selling XP to every single human on Earth, they had no more way to make money off it. They have to bring out something else or they don't make any more money.
And then this on the other side, the stockholders get upset because
the stockholders upset because they're not making enough profit. The only reason we have Vista is because stockholders want more profit. There's no real reason for it. They could keep upgrading Vista forever. That's why we love Linux so much, because nobody is an investor in Linux.
But Vista is the first 64-bit operating system for Microsoft, is it not?
But it didn't have to be.
There was XP 64.
Yeah, there's XP 64.
Right, even if it were, so what?
It's my understanding that if you have a 64-bit, a true proper 64-bit chip, it has instructions in it that disallow the running of a lot of viruses and malware.
Well, here's the
thing. And that if you're running a 64-bit operating system on that chip,
it's more than just
that, protected.
Though. It's not just the operating system.
It disables all 32-bit software, doesn't it?
No, you can if you want to. You don't have to. The problem is, if you mix 32 and 64-bit software, you slow the thing down horribly. And also, there are a lot of things that are simply not available in 64-bits anymore. So until everything is available in 64-bit, for example, for the longest time, there were no 64-bit codecs for all of the audio and video stuff that's in Windows. So if you ran that as 32-bit, your system slowed down to 32-bit anyway because it had a 32-bit component in it.
But it's only running that 32-bit component at a slower speed.
No,
the operating system is still...
No, not the way Windows...
It slows down
the
whole
Vista was
system?
Written. Right. It runs it in 32-bit compatibility mode, essentially.
Yeah, and on the Mac, that doesn't happen. The 32-bit programs
Linux,
run in 32.
Under Linux, that doesn't happen,
and,
but it happened under Windows. Now, the rumor
so does that
is
mean
they changed
that
in one of the service
smarter?
Packs. I'm sure it does. They say they changed that in one of the service packs. But
and their users are.
Right, exactly. Exactly. All right. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Well, I think I have a virus.
Uh-oh.
One of my friends of my son was on the computer a couple weeks ago, and I think that's what I have. Anyways, I think it's instant message related.
Yep.
And what I have is the background screen, but no icons, no bar at the bottom.
Could be.
And I started up in safe mode last night, and I'm still trying to get icons, and even in safe mode, it's been over 12 hours.
Well, here's what you need to do.
Well, it could just be Windows Explorer, which is the name of the program that generates the desktop, is crashed or corrupted, so you're not seeing your icons.
Right.
Just
right.
Reinstall Windows over Windows.
Well, but if you've got a virus, it'll just take over again. So from my point of view, the best thing to do is to start out with the Security Tango.
Right.
But he can't even get it booted.
Right, I can't get to that.
He can't even get it booted. So that's what I'm saying. He's he's got to install Windows over Windows. Then he can do the security
right, in safe mode.
In safe mode, okay.
Yeah.
So go into it. That's a good idea. Okay.
If you have another computer, then you can, you know, what we do in the shop is you rip the hard drive out of the infected one and hang it on the other one and run it.
Right.
Mm, okay. I follow you. Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. For those of you who are new to the show, securitytango.com, all one word, of course, securitytango.com. Our next caller is Chris from Williamson, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm calling with a question in regards to a friend's computer I'm working on.
Yeah, it's never your computer. Yeah. It's always a friend's, isn't it?
Actually, this isn't my computer because I don't run Windows
98. Whoa!
Yeah, it's a little old. The computer itself is modern, but the operating system is a little old. What it is, I'm trying to get a video card to run on the computer. And video card, which is an ATI random VE64 meg, it just will operate on 16 color. And I'm trying to get it up to, 256 color.
Right.
And every trick in the book I've tried doesn't seem to make it work.
It's likely that there's no Windows 98 driver for it.
Surprisingly enough, I did find a Windows 98 driver on the internet, and I downloaded it.
It's going to work.
What resolution are you running it at?
Resolution is 640 by 40.
Okay. Sometimes that's the problem. If you're running at 1152 by 870, you only have enough video memory for 16 colors, but at the lower resolution, you should.
If you're running at 640 by 480 and 16 colors, that's VGA mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is up the mode.
800 by 600 and do 16K.
Yeah, I won't run on that either. I've tried.
It may be. It's only got 64 meg of RAM, but that should be enough to do more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in the, the video card has 64 meg. Now, the computer itself has a gig.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know.
98's only going to see 128 meg.
Right. Oh,
256, isn't it? Maybe. I don't know. But who remembers 98 anymore? Here, you got two things going for you here. Two things working against you here, Chris. The first is, this machine with Windows 98 on it is just begging to be owned by somebody. Most of the programs you want aren't going to work on it anymore. Most of the stuff you'd like to run isn't available for it.
Yeah, any modern software.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the same protection from the antiviruses and things like that. McAfee, I don't think, will run on Windows 98 anymore. So those are all problems. The other thing is, you're going to start finding this problem everywhere. Video drivers that only sort of work, drivers for other peripherals that only sort of work. I don't know what to tell you about.
Well, since he said it's a high-end machine, you might still want to buy that product that they say that you can't get, which is Windows XP Pro, and put a copy of that on it, since it is a higher-end machine running an older operating system, and these video card issues and everything else would go away.
But I don't know how much more you're going to get out of the ATI card with only 64 meg of RAM on it and running a Windows 98 driver. I'm sorry, Chris. And we have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 40 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. This is possibly my favorite story of the week. Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak admits he was speeding in his Prius hybrid. Wozniak said he got a ticket for going 104 miles per hour on Interstate 5 earlier this year. A judge did not buy his excuse that he was used to the kilometer speeds used overseas and fined him about $700. Wozniak said he was surprised at how smooth the car sailed at high speeds. He does not recommend these speeds. His 55 miles per gallon dropped to between 31 and 37 miles per gallon. Wham, 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 at 104 miles per hour. Wozniak isn't the only celebrity to end up on the wrong side of the law after reaching triple digits in a Toyota Prius. Police said that Al Gore III, son of former U.S. Vice President Al Gore, was pulled over in July for driving more than 100 miles per hour in his Prius in Laguna Niguel, California. In other news, the Prius hybrid can top 100 miles an hour. Who knew? That suddenly makes me look. I always wanted a hybrid. I want a hybrid. Actually, I want a. No, I don't need to go 100. Although I could go 100, and I have gone, wait, what's the statute of limitations on speeding? I've gone well over 140. However, what I've really always wanted is a plug-in, an electric car that ran as an electric until it ran out of electricity and then ran as a hybrid, a gas model. You know, that's the way I want it to work, and that would be kind of nice, actually.
But, in two related WAZ stories, the WAZ, Steve Wozniak will be speaking at RIT on October 8th.
Yes, he will.
I'm trying to find information.
I wonder if that kid, though, is going to show up with the iPad.
Yeah, with the iPhone, yeah. And in some disturbing news, WAZ is dating Kathy Griffin, which...
Kathy Griffin?
Which should have been on your WAZ. Entertainment. It's been on the entertainment stories.
WAZ.
It's a myth? WAZ. Chris says it's a myth?
Yeah, I heard about this. It's not that big a deal, but it was a publicity something that she put on her website that she wanted to date him, and it came out that she is dating him. And in fact, they've never actually met.
Well, the story was he went to one of her concerts, liked it so much that he went backstage to meet her.
But clearly, that obviously is incorrect. All right, our next caller is Chris from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I finally broke down and bought my college freshman daughter a MacBook.
Oh, good for you.
And so far, so
poor
good.
You now.
What's that?
Poor you.
I know. I had to give it to her and watch it walk out of the house.
Good choice. There goes your pocketbook.
Yeah, I know. But it's worth it.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, well, we don't have wireless in the house, but she had used some wireless networks. And I noticed in going into her networking that other computers were now on that network. And I was just wondering, is that a problem?
Could be.
Okay.
Here's the deal. When you're on a wireless network, there are two ways that wireless can be done, either encrypted or not encrypted. Duh. If it's encrypted, then everybody is pretty safe.
And you need a password to join that network.
Right. You need some sort of password or some other logon thing to join that network. On the other hand, if it is non-encrypted, and I teach a security class at RIT in the E. Philip Saunders College of Business at the Rochester Institute of Technology, and... thank you. One of the things that I show them is all the kids in the room who have notebooks, I can read everything they're sending. Mm-hmm. And I can suck it in and I can keep it and I can, you know, do it back, whatever I want to do. So yeah, if the thing is unsecured and if you're able to just open up your laptop and get on the internet without signing in or logging in or any of that sort of thing, it's unencrypted.
Not necessarily. It could be your computer can be set to remember the password, so it just logs back in again.
Well, I'm talking about
the first time.
The first time you get to that place.
Yeah.
So, for example, I was in a cafe the other day with my laptop, opened it up, and I was on the internet. That was unsecured.
Right. The other thing, too, about the security is if you're using WEP security, you're not secure. That can be cracked in about 5 minutes. You want to be using
with a wristwatch.
Yeah. You want to be using WPA security, or better yet, WPA2.
Right.
How do you do that?
That's defined by the other end. Right. The other end in the router that creates the security to begin
right.
with.
So there's nothing you can do about it, but at least if you know that you're on an unsecured connection, you can be very careful about where you go and what you do. For example, if you go to a website and it asks you to log in, and you look up at the address bar and it doesn't say HTTPS, it is not secure.
Okay.
And don't log in there because anybody can read your username and password.
Okay. I tried to delete these other computers from their network, but it wouldn't let me because it said I wasn't allowed to.
Right. You don't. They're not really on her network. They're ones that she knows about.
Are you looking in the network browser or in the wireless network browser?
I assumed I was looking in the wireless network browser.
That's in the airport system preference that tells you it's a list of what wireless networks she has connected to in the past.
Right.
Whenever you connect into a network, you can tell the computer to add that to the list of your trusted networks.
Okay.
Those you can remove from the airport list, and you likely need to put in the administrator password to do that. In the network browser on the desktop, that lists any computer on the network that is advertising itself as a file server to log into.
Can you get rid of those?
No. The other end, that computer, is telling itself to publish to the network. Okay. You want to go into your sharing control panel and make sure your computer is not sharing itself to the network so no one else can see you.
Okay.
All right, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 51 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 55 minutes after the hour. All right, we've got a couple of people on the line. Roger from Rochester. What's your question, Roger? Well, Roger. Hi, Hi.
Yes.
Welcome back to Soundbites.
How are you? Let's just start over.
You're right.
Having too much fun down there.
Apparently we are, yes.
My question is, or questions, I just bought a DVD writer over the internet, which didn't give me a lot of information about it, but when I got it through the mail, it said it needed a Pentium 4 and 1.8 gig something, and I found that, I only have a Pentium 3.
Well,
1,000 speed. Should I send it back?
The DVD player shouldn't care what computer you put it in. The software to control the DVD player may have those system requirements.
Yeah.
So whatever software it came with may not work on your computer, but other software might, like, you know, Roxio Toast, or no, Easy CD Creator or Nero on a PC.
Mm-hmm. What software did you get with it?
It says Nero 7 something.
Nero 6 might work then on the older computer. If it recognizes that drive, that's the other half of it.
That's the problem. What you've got are several different problems. One is that the hardware, of course, will work, as Steve said, but it may be that that drive only has a driver for Nero.
And it's probably going to run slower, too.
And yeah, on the Nero 7, it'll run slower.
The slower. So, will it take a long time to download a movie, say? Because that's mainly what I got it for.
You don't need to download a movie if you've got a DVD player because it's actually on the DVD. But if for some reason you owned the copyright to that movie and you wanted to download it to your hard drive, it would probably take longer on that drive than it would on one that was really set up for a P3 system.
Okay. Yeah. One of the other things, I see free TV on the internet, and then they want to charge you some money.
That's a new use of the term free with which we're mostly unfamiliar.
The TV's free, but you got to pay for the commercials, and you can't watch TV without the commercials.
Right. Listen, I'm sorry. That music in the background and the dirty look I'm getting from Rob, even dirtier than usual, tells me that we are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, and I'm Nick Francesco. I gotta thank Chris. He comes in here every week volunteering his time, donating himself to us selflessly to get the podcast on his semi-professional equipment.
It is my pleasure, Nick. We even got a seagull watching the show.
We had a little problem with it last week. I'm in the middle of moving, so you know, getting the recordings to Chris and editing has been tricky. And
all right, that's it. We're done. I'm Nick Francesco. It's Soundbite on 1180 WHAM. We'll see you next week.